Welcome to the Home Church Podcast, where we bring you relevant teaching, faith conversations, and much, much more. We want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you and builds your faith.
So we're back in this series, Louise, Family Matters, and we've covered some great topics so far, but today we're getting into one which sometimes is a bit of a controversial one in the church, and I'm not exactly sure why. I think it's crazy, but we're talking about money.
That's right, yeah. I don't understand it either, because I just think, you know, everybody needs it, everybody has it. We've got to have money to function. And so it's good to have some wisdom on it, which hopefully is what we're going to do today.
Yeah, and the truth is, our lives don't revolve around money, but the money makes the world go around, and we all need
right.
it. And money
right.
is important to every single one of us, because we need it in society. And you know what? We've got this amazing Bible that is full of wisdom and just instruction
yes.
on how to steward our finances, yet we'll pay large amounts of money to financial advisors, which are important, by the way.
Yes.
Yet we don't want to hear what the Bible says about it. Well, we're going to talk about it.
Yes.
And today's message is entitled Finance in the Family. So it's tagging finance and family together, finance in the family. You used to work in a bank, didn't you, Louise?
I did, many
years ago. Many people may
not
know that.
Many years ago.
What did you used to do?
I started off on the kind of tills, I guess, where people would come in and withdraw their money or pay their money in. And then I moved into sales, where I used to talk to people about personal loans.
Can't imagine you as a
saleswoman. Mortgages. I'm not a hard seller. But I think what I was good at is if people genuinely needed something, I would try and help them.
So of course.
That was the
pastoral qualities
yeah.
coming in.
That's right.
But listen, it's a huge responsibility that every family needs to consider. Even thinking about the family of God, we have to, as pastors and leaders and our directors of the church and our senior leaders, we have to consider how we're going to finance this family of God, this local expression.
Right.
And so it really cuts into every aspect of family that you could imagine. It's huge responsibility. So what we thought we'd do today, Louise, is we'd just share three core values or core principles that we bring into our family when it comes to finance. And the first one is, and I'd love you just to start us off on this one, is that God is the source of our finances. We fundamentally believe that God is the source of our finances, right?
Absolutely. And we've lived our lives like this. I think I was brought up like this because my parents were pastors and, you know, lived by faith, if you like, a lot of the time. And so I was brought up in this way that God is the source of our finances. And so we've lived this way throughout our marriage as well. And it really helps if we have this thought first and foremost. It really helps, I think, in navigating the difficulties in life when we realize that, you know, although we work hard to get money, we work hard and we steward it well, that God is our ultimate source, that we look to Him first
yes.
and foremost and ultimately to be our provider.
Yeah. And one of the first places we see this is in Genesis 22. It involves Abraham, doesn't it? When he
yes.
has to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And God provides for him. He provides a ram. Is it a ram
a
or
ram
a god or something?
In the bushes.
In
yes.
the bushes. And he called God Jehovah Jireh.
Yes.
And Jehovah Jireh is a name. It's an Old Testament name for God. It's a name for God found in the Old Testament, I should say. And it means the Lord will provide.
Yes.
The Lord will provide. For those that don't know, God, there's lots of different expressions or names that are attributed to God. And this is a very powerful one. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. If we believe the Lord will provide, we don't need to panic.
That's right. And I think we've got to speak that over our finances, speak that over our family. You know,
yes.
God is our source. And I know we've been in many different difficult situations where we've been in a pressure situation with our finances, but God has come through to us and it's reminded us again that, yeah, well, you can do all you can and God expects us to do,
yes.
but He is the ultimate provider.
Yes,
and sometimes He's just come through for us with a miracle when we've needed it.
Now, this doesn't excuse laziness because
no,
you have
not
to
at all.
Remember, let's read the Bible in context. I know this might seem very simple and elementary, but for those that perhaps haven't been a Christian for a long time, we've got to read the Bible in context. It's always a context to every scripture.
Right.
And whilst He is our provider and He has got our backs financially and materially, He also tells us not to be lazy and to work hard.
Yes,
so
we've got to
balance.
Be good stewards,
yeah.
definitely. But I think when we do our part, God expects us to do our part, but ultimately he does his part, and his part is way better than ours.
Yeah, well, let's,
God is our source.
Let's remind ourselves of that God is the source of our blessings by reading some scripture. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things.
Right.
In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise to your glorious name." I mean, it's really clear, isn't it?
It's clear.
Everything is God's. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." We can get so egotistical in our own and so big-headed and full of pride in our own strength. Look what I have achieved and look what I have done and look at the wealth I have accumulated. Well, can I just ask you all to give yourselves a reality check here? It's God who gives us the ability to produce wealth. And what about Philippians 4, Louise?
Yeah, I love this scripture. Philippians 4, verse 19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God does want to look after us. And this is a great scripture to go to when we're struggling.
So this is a foundational belief, and this is what we teach
That's
our
right.
children.
That's
where we run our family finances, that we work hard. In fact, we work our butts off, right?
Right.
To be really raw about it, we work hard. We have a very high work ethic in our family. But that does not mean that we are the source of our finances. We thank God for that we have the ability and the strength and the wisdom and the opportunity to create finance. Number two, we teach our children that God is the advisor of our finances. So he's number one, the source of our finances. But we teach our kids that he is also the advisor of our finances. And the reason we say this is because the Bible is full of great advice, right?
It really is. And, you know, it's always great to get godly wisdom or, you know, great worldly wisdom from people who are trained to
Keep
be financial
that,
advisors. We still need to do that. You know, we don't put our head in the sand. But then when we look in the Word of God, God has given us so many amazing verses of Scripture to help us work out our finances and how to do them well.
Yeah, let's just run through a few of these and love your comment on this, Louise. You know, the Bible teaches us to prioritize with our finances. So Proverbs 24:27 says, "Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house."
Yeah.
So prioritize, you know, what's important when it comes to spending? What do you need against what do you want?
That's right. And it's just a really practical thing to do, isn't
so
it?
So practical.
So practical. I love that.
The Bible tells us to budget well. In Luke 14:28, it says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you sit down first and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay a foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying the person began to build but wasn't able to finish." This is just great instruction of we should be budgeting.
That's right. We can't just blindly go and spend whatever we want. We've got to have the sense to realize, you know, if we don't have enough money for it, well, we can't have it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just sensible.
This little parable here, I mean, it's quite interesting. Lots of things that's been said in here, but the thing that we're picking out is, you know, if you don't budget well, you can be ridiculed.
That's
simple.
Right.
Teach
That's
your kids
right.
that. The Bible talks about savings. Can you believe that? I bet you used to talk about savings, sell savings savings accounts when you worked in the bank.
One or two.
Genesis 41:34. Now this is Pharaoh. He appointed commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance, and they should collect all the food. And basically, Look, the story here is that he was preparing for the famine.
Yeah.
And when we have a lot, we get so excited and we're so thankful and we're praising God. Then we go into the country goes into a difficult economic state and we have less. And then we think that God is against us.
Yeah.
I wonder if God said, no, I've given you so much. You've got to think about not spending all at once.
That's right. And we inevitably have those things that come up, you know, those unexpected bills or something that happens to the car breaks down. And if we don't have anything in reserve, we're really going to struggle. So we really should. It's that old adage of saving for a rainy day. But it's actually true that we should try and put some aside so that we're not in a hole.
It's easier said than done,
happens.
Isn't it? We found this tough.
You want to enjoy it. You want to enjoy it.
Try and get your kids to save. The Bible also talks about debt, and debt is a difficult issue for many people because we find ourselves in this hole of debt. But the Bible is very clear in Proverbs 22:7, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender." What it's saying here is you've got to avoid debt at all costs. Now, I'm not saying that's always possible, but if you can avoid debt,
yes. Then the Bible, and if you do happen to get into debt, you know, try and get out of it as quickly as you can.
Yes.
Because I just think what debt does is it gives you a moment of pleasure in what you use the money for. But then it's kind of, my dad always used to say, it's like a noose around your neck. It takes away your freedom, because then you think if you do get some money, you don't think, oh, what can I, you know, we can go on holiday, or we can buy this, or we can buy that. You think, no, actually, I'm going to have to pay that off.
Yeah, in fact, that, just being really honest and open, that's what happened to us recently. We had a little bit of money, unexpected finance, come into our hands, and we would have loved to have a little holiday or buy something new, but we really felt convicted to pay our car loan off, didn't we?
That's right, yeah.
And so we now have a car in our drive. It's not the most expensive car in the world. I like it. I think you'd like to change it, but I like it. But it's debt-free, and there's something good about that.
There is, yes.
The Bible teaches us to plan ahead. Proverbs 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Bible instructs us to act with integrity in Psalm 37, 21. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously.
Right.
And of course, this last one, Louise, to live contently.
Mm.
Look, it's so important. 1 Timothy 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And what is really interesting in this verse, Louise, is that the word contentment literally means a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. What do you think of that?
That's amazing, isn't it? It really is. And I think in the society we live in today, it's sometimes quite difficult to live with contentment, because we can easily come under pressure to be like everybody else and to not be content with what we have and to want the next big thing.
Well, we go from a one-bed flat, we want a two-bed apartment, then we want a three-bed house, then we want a four-bed. Mm. I mean, I was speaking to Will just yesterday. He gets up really early to play Xbox before all his brothers. So often if I come downstairs, he's the first down there, downstairs. And we were talking about something on his game. And he said, oh, it'd be amazing, Dad, if we could buy a mansion, wouldn't it? And I actually said to him, well, I don't think we need a mansion. I think maybe just enough bedrooms so everyone can have their own space. He said, no, a mansion's so much better. I think he was playing
Minecraft,
where he's building a mansion. I said, well, I don't think we need a mansion, Will. And already in his mind, he said, yeah, but it would be cool, wouldn't it? Yes, it would be cool, but I'd be quite content.
That's right, yeah. But I think that perfectly illustrates the childishness of that, you know, that's fine when you're a child. But if we're constantly thinking like that as adults, I think we've got some issues that we
absolutely
need to clear up.
Yeah, God is the source of our finances. God is the advisor in our finances, our family finances. And the final one that we live by in our family is that God is first in our family finances.
Mm.
He's first. And this is where we talk about tithing and generosity. And for those listening, I don't know, perhaps you're new to the faith and you don't know what on earth a tithe is. A tithe is a principle that means giving 10%. A tithe actually means 10%. It's a principle that we find right throughout the Bible of really godly men that we respect and trust, who actually made a decision to give 10%, the first 10% of their income to the house of God.
That's right, yeah. And we've always taught our children to do this. And I was taught to do this since growing up. You know, my parents used to say, if you get your pound note, pocket money, you put 10 pence in the offering. And I just think it's a great principle to live by.
Yes, it's not a law.
It's not a law. Just say,
it's not a law, and it's not a requirement for being part of our church.
But I think that even if I wasn't a Christian, I think I would really want to teach my children this, because it's healthy to be generous, first of all, but then also to give to something that's bigger than yourself.
Yes.
I think it's definitely a healthy principle to have in your life. And remembering that even if people do choose to adopt the 10%, that God is saying, okay, give me 10%, but keep 90.
Keep 90.
For yourself.
Fantastic.
Which is amazing. And often we focus on the 10.
Some people do practice the principle of giving 10% of their income away. In fact, a lot of non-Christians and corporations and businesses would set aside a proportion. You know, when you study tithing in the Old Testament, it actually wasn't just a Christian thing. Lots of the other nations used to set aside 10%. But I hear a lot of people saying, well, I do, but I just don't give it to the local church. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake. One, because the local church needs to be funded. And two, if you actually take some time to study where the tithe went, throughout the Bible, it did go to the house of God, and it actually paid for the priests, and it paid for the ceremonies and everything else that was there. Now, that it's a huge topic, and if you go back to Jewish tithing, it's more like 22-23%.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot more. But anyway, we're not getting into that now, and we don't want to become legalistic. You know, you can be part of our church and never give a penny. But in terms of our family finances, we teach our children to put God first. We give to God first. Matthew 6:33. It's all about seeking his kingdom His righteousness first.
Yeah, because we teach them to put God first. That means in many areas of life, but definitely in your finances.
Yes.
That I believe that you're blessed when you put God first and give him the best. You don't give him the leftovers.
Yeah, and if you're wondering where we're getting these funny ideas from, well, the Bible, Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord. Listen, you can't misunderstand this verse, Louise. Honor the Lord with your wealth. What is your wealth? Mm. It's your material things. It's money. It says, with the first fruits of all your crops. Now, you may not be a farmer. You may not have crops, but the first fruit of your labor, if you like. Then, and if you do this, so there's a promise attached to this, your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. So we never give to get,
we are
blessed. We would say we are blessed because we are generous. Of course, you know, giving is a heart thing. You've got to give from the heart. 2 Corinthians 9 is clear about that. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. So we don't want anyone in our church to be giving under any kind of compulsion or reluctantly, because that's not biblical giving.
But that's right.
It does say that God loves a cheerful giver.
He does. But I think this is just a rule for life, isn't it? Nobody wants to receive a gift that somebody's giving under duress.
Begrudgingly.
No, not at all. What would you say? You'd say, well, I'd rather you didn't give me it at all if you really don't want to give me it. And I'm sure God feels the same way that he's saying here.
Yes.
You know, give what you've decided in your heart. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give under pressure, but give because you want to. That's the way I want you to give.
And giving's become a habit in our family because we've said that God is first in our finances. It becomes a habit,
right,
which again, I think is scriptural, because you flick to the New Testament and Paul was always taking offerings. In fact, 1 Corinthians 16, context, he's taking an offering for the widows and the missions. And he gives very clear instructions so that he doesn't have to pass buckets when he arrives.
Mm.
I say pass buckets. We don't do that in home
church.
And
I'm not sure they passed buckets in those days.
Well, they
either.
Didn't, because Paul was very straight to the point. I mean, imagine,
yes.
I'd love to meet him in heaven one day. Because he says, on the first day of every week, so that talks about intentionality, each one of you, that means, hey, everyone's involved in this, not just the people who seemingly have money. He says you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. I love that, because that kind of tags back to a percentage matter.
Yeah.
So it's not about, you know, if you've got lots of money, you should give lots of money. No, what if we all give a percentage?
That's right. Well, it's a leveler, isn't it? It means that everybody gives.
It's not equal giving, it's
equal sacrifice. Right.
He says saving it up. Now we're back to that saving thing, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. In other words, look, we're not having a fuss about this, guys.
Mm.
If your heart's right and you want to give, be intentional about it and everything will be cool.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much how we finance our family, isn't it?
Right.
Of course, we all work hard, but these principles undergird everything we do. God is the source of our family finances. God is the advisor of our family finances. And God is first in our family finances. Well, I think all that's left is for you to pray that
okay,
we get this. And
it.
We, you know, we everyone listening really gets the revelation of God is our source.
That's right.
That there is wisdom for us and that we should put him first.
That's right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are our source, that you want to bless us, that you want to take care of us as your children.
Yes, you do,
and so,
Lord.
Father, I pray that we will be reminded of that, that as we try and work through our finances, try and sort them out, God, that we will put you first. We would remember that everything belongs to you, Lord.
I pray that you will
give us wisdom, that you would encourage us to look in your word and find out everything practically that you tell us in there to do with our finances, Lord.
Absolutely.
God, we thank you that you are a good father to us and that you want to take care of us.
You're
so
faithful,
God,
we
help us to be generous of spirit and give back to you, Lord, not begrudgingly, but cheerfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, amen, amen. Hey, be blessed. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, I just need some advice on this. In fact, not just advice, but I need some help. Will you reach out to us? We have great people in the church, real wise people in the worldly sense when it comes to finance, but also godly financial people who can talk to you about finances. We'd love to help you. So anyway, have a great week and can't wait for the next episode of in this brilliant series, Family Matters. God bless.